ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Prithu's going back home. Text 32. This morning from Srimad Bhagavatam.
Brahmano
Brahma
Varchasvi Rajanyo Jagati Patihi Vaishyah Patan Vitpatihi स्यात् शूद्रः सत्तमताम् इया ब्रह्मणो ब्रह्मवर्चस्वी ब्रह्मणो ब्रह्मवर्चस्वी राजन्यो जगति पतिः राजन्यो जगति पतिः वैश्य पठन् विट्पति स्यात् वैश्य पठन् विट्पति स्यात् शूद्र सत्तमताम् इयात् शूद्र सत्तमताम् इयात् ब्राह्मणो ब्रह्मवर्चस्वी राजन्यो जगति पतिः वैश्य पठन् विट्पति स्यात् शूद्रः सत्तमताम् इयात् ब्राह्मणः द ब्राह्मणस् ब्रह्मवर्चस्वी One who has attained the power of spiritual success. Rajanyah, the royal order. Jagati Patihi, the king of the world. Vaishyah, the mercantile class of men. Patan, by reading. Vit Patihi becomes master of animals. Syat becomes Shudraha, the laborer class of men. Sattamata, the position of a great devotee. Iyat attains. Translation and purport by Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. If one hears of the characteristics of Prithu Maharaj and is a Brahmana, he becomes perfectly qualified with Brahmanical powers. If he is a Kshatriya, he becomes a king of the world. If he is a Vaishya, he becomes a master of other Vaishyas and other animals. And if he is a Shudra, he becomes the topmost devotee. Please kindly repeat responsibly. If one hears of the characteristics of Prithu Maharaj and is a Brahmana, he becomes perfectly qualified with Brahmanical powers. If he is a Kshatriya, he becomes the king of the world. If he is a Vaishya, he becomes the master of other Vaishyas and many animals. And if he is a Shudra, he becomes the topmost devotee. Purport. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is recommended that one should become a devotee regardless of one's condition. whether one is without desire, a kama, or with desire, sa kama, or whether one desires liberation, moksha kama, he is advised to worship the Supreme Lord and execute devotional service unto him. By so doing, one attains all perfection in any field of life. The process of devotional service, especially hearing and chanting, is so powerful that it can bring a person to the perfectional stage. In this verse, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras are mentioned. But here it should be understood that that reference is to the Brahmana who is born in a Brahminical family, the Kshatriya who is born in a Kshatriya family, the Vaishya who is born in a Vaishya family, and a Shudra in a Shudra family. But whether one is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, he can attain perfection simply by hearing and chanting. To take birth in a family of Brahmanas is not the ultimate finishing touch. One must have the power of a Brahmana, which is called Brahma Tejas. Similarly, taking birth in a royal family is not the all-in-all. One must possess the power to rule the world. Similarly, taking birth as a Vaishya is not all. One must possess hundreds or thousands of animals, specifically cows, and rule over other Vaishyas as Nanda Maharaj did in Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj was a Vaishya who possessed 900,000 cows and ruled over many cowherd men and boys. A person who is born in a Shudra family can become greater than a Brahmana simply by accepting devotional service and giving oral reception to the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupaha Kadama Hiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Praishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Hare Krishna. So thank you all for kindly congregating this morning in the fire sacrifice of hearing and chanting about Srimad Bhagavatam. The message from Srimad Bhagavatam this morning is the glories of the power of the process of hearing about Sri Krishna and His pure devotees. Maharaj Prithu's wonderful, glorious life has been described. And in the concluding verses that we saw yesterday and today, the glories, the phala shruti. Phala means fruit and shruti means hearing. The fruit of hearing about Maharaj Prithu. What is that fruit that has been described? In Vedic texts, this is an ongoing phenomenon that has been observed, that whenever there is a stuti or a stotra or a kavacha, an outpour of heartfelt effusion in the form of prayers, then at the end there is something called as phala shruti, or what is the fruit of hearing or chanting that specific section. This is also mentioned because those who are not interested to offer those prayers selflessly for the pleasure of Krishna can come to the fruit first and read the fruit and see this is what they will be benedicted with if they go through the process of reading and hearing that section. And in this mood, that inspires those who are materially motivated to go through that section of prayers. Like for example, in the Narasimha Kavacha, it is described, Putravan dhanavan loke birdha yurupa jayate kamayate yam yam kamam tam tam prapnotya samshayam. Putravan dhanavan loke birdha ayu upajayate kamayate yam yam kamam tam tam prapnotya samshayam. That anyone who is desirous of a son or desirous of wealth or desires of a long healthy life, or desires of any other desires apart from these three mentioned, they will all be fulfilled without any doubt if someone chants the Narasimha Kavacha. Dvatrim sati sahasrani pate chuddhatamandranam kavachasyasya mantrasya mantra siddhi prajayate anena mantra rajena kritva bhasmabhi mantranam. The Narasimha Kavacha also mentions that if someone chants the Narasimha Kavacha 32,000 times in their life, they can attain all their material and spiritual desires, including eternal liberation from the cycle of birth and death. So there's a short-term and a long-term goal. The short-term is if someone wants a child in one birth, or let's say wants to live long, or desires wealth and health, then they must chant. But the long-term is if they do it every day and finish chanting it 32,000 times in their life, then they escape the cycle of birth and death. So that kind of keeps the chanter, you know, focused on the path. It's not just a 1 week or a 1 month of chanting, but if they calculate, you know, if you chant three times every day, then you need about 10,000 days. And so on and so forth. The person can start calculating how many years I have to chant to finish chanting 32,000 times. So the context is, every time a stuti or a stava or a specific section has been mentioned, there is always a fruit offered at the end. Like even in the other sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see this phenomenon. The prayers of Gajendra have a fruit at the end. It is described that anyone who chants the Gajendra Stuti, what Gajendra chanted in Canto 8, Chapter 3, Text 2 to 29, early in the morning, if someone chants those prayers, then they become purified, and at the end of their life, they attain the same destination that Gajendra attained. So therefore, that invokes the culture of putting the Stuti, or the prayers of great devotees, the lives of great devotees, on priority for the readers and the students of Srimad Bhagavatam. So many other sections also. In the section of the Putana pastime, Canto 10, Chapter 6, 10.6 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, at the end it is described. Please kindly repeat. Ya etat putana moksham,
Krishna syarbhakam
adbhutam,
Krishna syarbhakam. Shrunuyat Shraddhaya Martyo,
Govinde Labhate Ratim. So Shukadev Goswami, on the last verse of this section, after 44 or 46 verses of the 6th chapter of the 10th canto, he says, Ya etat putana moksham. This specific chapter of the deliverance of putana, which is Krishnasya, it belongs to Krishna, and very specifically Arbhakam. This is a childhood pastime of Krishna, and Krishnasya Arbhakam Adbhutam. It is a marvel in itself. How someone could come with poison and return with nectar. In contrast to this world, coming with nectar and returning with poison. In this world, when someone comes with the nectar of good advice, they return with the poison of criticism. The person gets criticized for giving a fruit. Look at this world. For a tree to drop a mango, the person is ready to hit a stone. Only when the stone is hit, the mango is dropped. So, in return to give the nectar, he has to take the poison. But in Krishna's world, Krishna takes the poison and gives the nectar, in the form of liberation. So Shukadev Goswami says, anyone who hears this section of Putana's deliverance, Ya etat Putana moksham, this pastime of deliverance of Putana, Krishnasya arbhakam adbhutam, this marvelous, most charming pastime, childhood pastime of Krishna, what happens? Shrunuyat, they must hear this pastime, Shraddhaya, with faith. And Shrunuyat Shraddhaya Martyo. If a dying person in the age of Kali listens to this with faith and love, Govinde Labhate Ratim, he attains love at the feet of Sri Krishna. So Shukadev Goswami makes it very simple. just by hearing the pastime of Putana with attention, any mere mortal of this world can get not just liberated, they can attain love for Krishna. So there are always fruits hanging at the end of different sections of Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone who wants to get out of legal issues in this world, the section of Banasur in Srimad Bhagavatam is very fruitful. So material fruits are also given, and ultimately spiritual fruits are also given. The spiritual fruit of love for Krishna, and the material fruits of, you know, happiness, success, long life, wealth, children, and so on and so forth. So following that same culture, this section says anyone who listens to the pastimes of Prithu Maharaj, they get elevated and ultimately become a pure devotee. And it's quite fascinating that the concluding point that Srila Prabhupada makes is as follows. A person who is born in a Shudra family, that would include all of us, because in the age of Kali, Kalau Shudra Sambhava, Janmana Jayate Shudra. Even if you are born in a Brahminical family, because it is not Brahma Vittama, it is not surcharged with Brahma Tejas or transcendental purity, we are categorized as a Shudra. So Prabhupada says a person who is born in a Shudra family can become greater than a Brahmana simply by accepting bhakti or devotional service and giving oral reception to the pastimes of the Lord and His devotees. So sometimes we think Krishna Katha must be only related to Krishna. And if we hear about pure devotees, it's good, but it's not as purifying as Krishna. But actually this point has been broken to pieces in Srimad Bhagavatam by saying that when we hear about pure devotees of the Lord, it is more glorious than hearing about Krishna. Because when we hear about the pure devotees, even Krishna is sitting in the assembly listening to that nectarian narration. In South India, there is a place called Kottiyur. There is a very famous Shiva temple. And the interesting thing about this Lord Shiva temple is that it's open only for 10 days in a year. The remaining 350 days it's closed. Only 10 days open. And during those 10 days there's a big rush of faithful devotees who come to take darshan of Lord Shiva. So there used to be a great devotee in Kerala by the name Pundanam Nambudri. His name was Pundanam. Great devotee of Sri Krishna. And he was an expert reader of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the devotees arranged for the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam through the lips of Pundanam in those 10 days at that Shiva temple. Because devotees would come in thousands and thousands of numbers, so they can sit and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Pundanam came day one and spoke about Rukmini's letter to Krishna. That was the section that was being read. So he finished the chapter and put the bookmark on the next chapter. And he came the next day and the bookmark was back to the previous chapter. So he had lost track, because he was giving so many classes during the day, he had lost track of what was happening in which center. So he came back, he looked at the bookmark and read the whole chapter again. And he put the bookmark on the next page, on the next chapter. He came back day three and the bookmark had moved back to the previous chapter. And then he ended up reading it again. And this happened for all 10 days. And the audience were thinking, what is going on? This is what we heard yesterday, because they remembered. And also Pundanam, on the power of his taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, Sudha Sudhara Madhuram Pade Pade, Tadaiva Ramyam Ruchiram Navam Navam, Tadaiva Shashvat Manaso Mahotsavam, Tadaiva Shokaranava Shoshanam Dranam, Yat Uttama Shloka Yasho Nugiyate. Canto 12, Chapter 12, Text 50. That this Srimad Bhagavatam is ever fresh, never gets stale. So as he would read the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was thinking he's reading it for the first time. But the audience were pretty much aware that we have read it and heard it over and over again now for 10 days. Why did he do this? He could have gone ahead. They were discussing. And interestingly, it so happened on the last day, because of habit, because he would leave the Srimad Bhagavatam every day, because he had to come there. On the 10th day, he had to take the Srimad Bhagavatam, because that was the last day and the temple would close. So he left the temple, crossed the river to go home, and then realized that he had forgotten his Srimad Bhagavatam at the temple. So he crossed the river back again to go to the temple, and the doors were closed by now. So he had to go in to get his Srimad Bhagavatam. So through the keyhole, he looked in. And Lord Shiva was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Mother Parvati. And he was repeating that chapter. Lord Shiva was explaining to Mother Parvati what Pundanam had spoken in the Bhagavatam class. He said, Pundanam said this, Pundanam said that, Pundanam said this, Pundanam said that. And Mother Parvati would say, oh, can you repeat that again? Oh, can we go to the previous verse? What were you saying in that verse? And after all of that, she told Lord Shiva, somehow, your speaking, I respect your Srimad Bhagavatam class, but somehow it's not as tasty as hearing it from the lips of Pundanam. So is it possible if you can flip it back, the bookmark, back to the chapter so that I can hear it again? And when Pundanam saw and heard this, he fell in ecstasy. So the point is, even Mother Parvati likes to hear about a devotee, Rukmini, from the lips of another devotee, Pundanam. Also in South India, there is a place called Kumbakonam. And in Kumbakonam, there is a very beautiful deity, which is in the same form of elegance and opulence as Ranganatha Swami that we mentioned last night, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited before uplifting Venkatabhat. So this temple in Kumbakonam is also similar, where the Supreme Lord is laying, and he's so majestic, so majestic. Last night we were speaking about even the eating and the sleeping of the Lord is very sweet. Bhuktam madhuram and suptam madhuram, as Sripad Vallabhacharya explains. So in that temple of Kumbakonam, where the Supreme Lord is resting, the rule is only Brahmanas are allowed in that temple by birth. Even Kshatriyas, Vaishyas are not allowed. So there was a great devotee who wanted to enter and take darshan, and unfortunately he was not from a Brahminical birth. So the pujaris pushed him out. They said, you're not allowed because you're not a Brahmana. Again, tying back to what Prabhupada is making in the purport, that the birth is not so important as much as one's inclination to serve Krishna. So he was pushed out. And he said, oh, I want to take darshan. The pujari said, you're not a Brahmana, you're unfit, go out. So he took a humble position and he said, no problem, I will stay outside, I'm not qualified to see the Lord. And he left the temple, came out. Now the pujari went inside to take darshan. And the deity who was laying down got up. The deity is completely in a resting place. The lower part of the body below the hip was still resting, but just like we would sometimes get up from the bed, the deity woke up. And the deity started spinning inside, you know, he started moving. And the pujari was looking, what's happening? This is beyond my Brahminical understanding. He didn't realize, he called other pujaris and they were understanding why, they were trying to fathom why the deity is spinning around. Then they came out of the temple to see that this devotee who was pushed out, he was circumambulating the deity. And the deity started spinning in such a way that his face was always facing that devotee who was circumambulating. Innumerable such cases. One of the 12 Alvars, great saints from South India, once when he was in a procession in Ranganatha Swami temple in South India, they have something called as Utsava Murti, just like we have the Archavigraha, you know, the we have the big ones and then we have Chota, you know, we have the Bada Radha Govinda and Chota Radha Govinda, like that. So they have the Utsava Murti that they take out on a palanquin. They take around the whole city so that the Lord can see his subjects for the day. And this happens every day. They would take the deity around. So one fine day what happened was, one of these 12 Alvars, great saints from Tamil Nadu, he was not very famous. He was not one of the well-known ones. He had not written any books. He had not written any songs glorifying the Lord. So he was less known in the community. So he was just from a distance looking at the Lord and taking darshan and tears streaming from his eyes as he was seeing the Lord. It was so difficult for him that those tears were blocking his eyesight. So he would wipe them and again look at the Lord. And when he would look at the Lord, tears would stream down. So at this time, the procession, the palanquin, was entering the temple. Entering to take the deity on the palanquin to go out for the procession. So they were saying, oh everyone, please make way because the palanquin of the Lord is entering the temple to take the Utsava Murthy to come out and circumambulate and, you know, go out for transcendental sightseeing. So as the palanquin was entering, the pujaris were saying, okay everyone, please make way, the Supreme Lord's palanquin is coming in. And everyone who was in physical external consciousness made way. But this specific saint, this specific Alvar was so absorbed that he was oblivious to what's happening around. And even when there were loud calls for making way, it didn't even enter his ear hole. Because he was so absorbed. And the pujari didn't realize who the saint was. He was thinking this is just another person who's being a little arrogant by not making way for the Lord. So the pujari took one of the coconuts from the Lord's palanquin and hit this person on the head. So don't you realize, you fool, you have to make way for the Supreme Lord. You know, because he thought the head was heavy with pride. So he took the coconut to break it. And as soon as he hit the head with the coconut, the devotee started bleeding. And he fell to the ground and no one paid attention. The palanquin went inside. The pujaris opened the curtain and the deity of Ranganatha Swami was bleeding. Real life deity pastimes, interactions. The deity was bleeding profusely from the head. And the pujaris didn't know what to do. They initially thought this was some kumkum powder that was dripping down from the head of the Lord. So they tried to, you know, take some sacred cloth and pacify the Lord's shringar. But then they realized that, no, this is something serious because there's blood oozing out from his body. So the head pujari sat in meditation because he was very pure. He sat in meditation to see how the deity was reciprocating. And as he sat in meditation, the deity revealed to him that there was a great offense committed. There was a great offense committed to a devotee in the courtyard. The deity revealed to the head pujari that one of my great saints has been offended, not mentally, not verbally, but physically. He has been physically assaulted with a coconut and he's bleeding in the courtyard. Please go and nurse him back to health. So the pujaris ran out and here the devotee was fallen unconscious with blood all over his face. The pujari took care of him. And the Lord said a final instruction. He said, I am not ready for a Utsava Murthy procession today. I'm not ready. I don't have the mindset to do it. The pujaris tried to lift the little deity, the Utsava Murthy, and he became very heavy. 10 pujaris couldn't lift him. Then when they asked the deity for forgiveness, they said, how can we get rid of our offense? The Supreme Lord, in the meditation of the head pujari, he spoke and he said, just like you take me on a procession on the palanquin every single day, today, as atonement, I want this devotee to sit on my palanquin and you take him around the whole city of Sri Lanka. Take him around. Take him everywhere. The pujaris came, lifted this devotee, put him on the palanquin. The devotee, out of humility, was saying, no, 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 please don't do this. But they lifted him, put him on the palanquin of the Lord. And with chamara and peacock feather on each side, as they would sing with conch shells and the procession as they would take the Supreme Lord, this pure devotee was taken around the city, brought back to the temple. The archadigraha became light and was ready to be lifted. Countless such cases to mention how the Supreme Lord takes personal interest and intervenes personally in the life of pure devotees. And therefore, in this context, Shukadev Goswami, in this verse, he says, such a great devotee as Prithu Maharaj, such an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, who is empowered to perform so many wonderful tasks in this world, when someone hears about them, they get uplifted. Taking the same thread of thought ahead, today marks the beginning of the sacred 4 months of spiritual transcendental devotional service called Chaturmas. We briefly mentioned about the do's and don'ts last night, so I wouldn't get into that list now. But I would like to spend some time on the occasion, the sacred potency of today's occasion. Today is Vyasa Purnima, the holy appearance day of Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva is of paramount importance to all of us. The seat on which every morning the speaker sits and serves Srimad Bhagavatam is called as Vyasa Asana or Vyasa Peet. This is the sitting place of Vyasadeva. And anyone who speaks Srimad Bhagavatam is expected to speak the same words that Vyasadeva would. Also, when the spiritual master is worshipped on his appearance day, it's called Vyasa Puja. Because the spiritual master is considered to be the empowered representative of Vyasadeva. Also, in our specific line of Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see the order carrier in our line was Madhvacharya. And it is believed Madhvacharya was directly initiated and empowered by Vyasadeva in Badrikashram. So I would like to use this occasion to speak briefly about Vyasadeva so that we can bow our heads down to the one who has given us this gift of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because when we recite the Srimad Bhagavatam, we put ourselves in a great transcendental bewilderment. And what is that? Please chant. Narayanam namaskrityam.
Narayanam namaskrityam.
Naram chaiva narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tatho jayam udiraye. The transcendental bewilderment or confusion is, we have four personalities to bow down to. One, the objective of Srimad Bhagavatam, to bow down to Narayana. He's first on the list. The person whom we are trying to please through our study, or person whom we are trying to understand. Second, the person who is benedicting this to us, Narottama, the person who is speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami. Third, Saraswati Devi, the Sanskrit language through the expression of which Srimad Bhagavatam is passed on from generation to generation. And the fourth is the compiler and the person who is presenting it, that is Vyasadeva. So the confusion is, whom should we bow down to first? Should we bow down to Narayana, who is the objective of Srimad Bhagavatam first? Or should we bow down to Shukadev Goswami because it's ultimately through his lotus lips that we get to know? Or should we bow down to Saraswati Devi, who is the Sanskrit medium to facilitate Srimad Bhagavatam? Or should we bow down to Vyasadeva, by whose hard work we get Srimad Bhagavatam? It's very confusing because all four of them are great personalities in themselves, all transcendental. Therefore, the final line says, Tatoha. Oh, it's so confusing. Therefore, Jayam Udirayet. Let us loudly say Jai to all four of them in one go. That's what the final line says. Udirayet. Ut means high. High pitch and high volume. And Irayan means to sing. Tataha Jayam. All glories. Ut Irayet. Let us all sing loudly. All glories to all four of them. Because they are the contributors. And it's interesting. One out of those four is Vyasadeva. So let us spend time today that we have very briefly speaking about the appearance and the scenario of Vyasadeva's birth. Once upon a time,
Lord Brahma was performing a very great sacrifice in Brahma Loka. And as Brahma was performing this sacrifice in Brahma Loka, all the kings, all the demigods, all the demigoddess, the Apsaras, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, the Siddhas, the Charanas, the Kimpurushas, the Kinnaras, all the celestial beings were also welcome. But however, it so happened that the fire sacrifice was going on in the center, and on one side was a great king by the name King Maha Abhishek. And on the other side of the fire was a great celestial being by the name Ganga Devi. They were sitting across, facing each other, with the fire sacrifice in the middle. And it so happened that Ganga Devi, being so beautiful as she is, King Maha Abhishek naturally got attracted to her. Please kindly chant, Devi Sureshwari Bhagavati Gange. Tribhuvana Tarani Tarala Tarange. Shankara Mauli Viharini Vimale. Mama Mati Mastham Tava Pada Kamale. The great Acharya says, Devi Sureshwari Bhagavati Gange. O Ganga Devi, you flow from this spiritual worlds and you enter this material world by washing the feet of Vamandev. And therefore, Tribhuvana Tarini Tarala Tarange, your waves which are restless are ready to purify the whole creation. More so because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also frolicked in her in Kali. And therefore, Shankara Mauli Viharini Vimale, Lord Shiva himself purifies his existence by keeping you on top of his head. O Ganga Devi, Mama Matim Astham Tava Pada Kamale. Let my loving attachment for your lotus feet increase. So that Ganga Devi was sitting in front of King Maha Abhishek. She looked at King Maha Abhishek. Maha Abhishek looked at her. And naturally, Pumsa Striya Maithuni Bhavameta Tayo Mitho Ridaya Granthi Mahur Atha Griha Kshetra Suta Apta Vittaihi Janasya Mohoyam Aham Mameti. Canto 5, Chapter 5, Srimad Bhagavatam. Naturally, there was a spin of attraction between the two hearts. And as the attraction went intertwined, they lost attention towards the Yajna. Brahma did observe this because he has four heads. He can observe from all four directions at the same time. So with one set of eyes, he was looking at King Maha Abhishek. With the other set of eyes, he was looking at Ganga Devi. And then he was seeing what's happening. When he did notice that this is what was going on, he blessed them with a curse. Brahma told them that being in the upper planetary systems, you are behaving like people on Bhumandala behave. You're supposed to focus on this yajna and you're being mutually attracted. I bless you with this curse that may you descend on Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, and finish up with your material desires, pursue them, and then when you're purified, come back. Both of them were very repentant. They fell at the feet of Brahma, and they apologized and begged for forgiveness. But now that the curse was given, nothing could be done. Brahma asked them, the benediction I can give in that curse is that I'll let you pick where you want to appear. Ganga Devi said, I would like to appear as myself. I don't want to compromise on my identity. While King Maha Abhishek, he preferred to appear as the son of Maharaj Pratipa in the lunar dynasty, the Chandra Vamsha. Maharaj Pratipa gave birth to this son who was Maha Abhishek reincarnated, and he reincarnated as Maharaj Shantanu. He was Maharaj Shantanu. Ganga Devi also descended on Mother Earth, and she was covered by the veil of Yoga Maya. As a result of which, when Maharaj Shantanu looked at her and glanced at her while being on Earth, he didn't remember that this was Ganga Devi. He was sparking and blossoming newer glances of affection. He looked at her and didn't recognize her.
She looked at him and didn't recognize him. And both were covered by yoga maya so that they could finish up. They were orchestrating the pastimes and facilitating it. Maharaj Shantanu approached Ganga Devi. And as the story unfolds, begged her, would it be okay if she could accept him in marriage? According to the Manu Samhita, the person who proposes and asks the question, so to speak, he's the one who offers his heart. And naturally, the person who accepts it has an upper hand in the marriage. Therefore, the Manu Samhita has different ways in which the marriage are orchestrated. But however, in this case, Maharaj Shantanu was the one who was on his knees asking the question. Ganga Devi mercifully agreed on the condition that he should never question her for any act or any decision that she takes in life. Also, the day when he speaks rude and harsh words to her, that's the day where she will abandon this relation and walk and part in her own ways. Maharaj Shantanu agreed, and he told Ganga Devi, I promise you, I will never speak harsh words. I will take care of you all my life. She agreed. They gave birth to 7 children, one after another. And Ganga Devi would mercifully, according to the past history, and mercilessly, according to Maharaj Shantanu, drown the babies one after another in her own sacred water. She would take the baby who just appeared and throw the baby into the water. And Maharaj Shantanu was completely flabbergasted and flummoxed. You know, his intellect was completely flustered. What is this? What is going wrong with my wife? You give birth to a child, and generally the mother's heart is considered to be very soft and compassionate. What is happening to Ganga Devi? But he didn't want to lose her. So he went on and on and on with his grief, but never questioned her. One after another, 7 babies were thrown into water. And the mountain of his grief just went taller and taller and taller. Finally, when the 8th child was born and Ganga Devi was almost going to go and finish 8-0, throw the 8th child, Maharaj Shantanu caught her hand and said, "You merciless lady, how could you do this?" You know, the Mahabharata speaks very, you know, harsh, reprimanding words. So that's what I'm repeating. He told Ganga Devi, "How could you do this? How could any mother do this? You know, just because I'm not questioning you doesn't mean you go out of control. What is going on? 1, 2, 3, 4, 8 times. This is the 8th time you're going to do this. Even if it means you're going to leave me, I don't care. I have to protect this innocent baby." Matta smriti jnanam apohanam cha vedaisha sarvair ahameva vidyo vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. Chapter 15, text 15, Gita. Krishna says, from me comes knowledge, from me comes forgetfulness, and from me comes remembrance. So the remembrance was invoked for Ganga Devi. And she smiled and she said, there's a history why I'm doing this. And it explains the historical evidence as to why this was done. It's described just like we have the 11 Rudras, the 12 Adityas, we have the 8 Vasus in the heavenly kingdom. And these 8 Vasus, while once they were passing through the ashram of Vasishtha Muni, they saw a very, very beautiful wish-fulfilling Surabhi cow. Wish-fulfilling in the sense, Kama Dhenu. Anyone who drinks her milk becomes materially and spiritually nourished. So when these 8 Vasus were passing through the ashram of Vasishtha Muni, and they saw this wish-fulfilling cow, they were not attracted. But the wife of the 8th Vasu nudged the husband and said, "I want this cow." And history holds evidence what happens even when Sri Ramachandra's consort asks for an animal. Please repeat. Ado Rama tapovanadi gamanam. Ritva mrigam kanchanam. Vaidehi haranam jatayu maranam. Sugriva sambhashanam.
Valini grahanam samudra taranam Lankapuri dahanam Paschad Ravana Kumbhakarna Hananam Etadhiramayanam.
It is described when Mother Sita asked for that golden deer, what happened after that? Vaidehi Haranam, she was kidnapped. Jatayu Maranam, the bird had to give up his body. Sugriva Sambhashanam, there had to be conversations with the king of the monkeys, Sugriva. Vali Nigrahanam, his own brother had to be killed. Samudra Taranam, the ocean had to be crossed. Lankapuri Dahanam, a kingdom had to be burnt. After that, Ravana and Kumbhakarna had to be killed. All of that for one golden deer. The Lord is orchestrating a very beautiful pastime in this world. So here when the wife of the eighth Vasu nudged and said, I want that cow. So the eighth Vasu said, okay. He called in an urgent general body meeting. And then the seven Vasus came in. The eighth one was heading it. And he said, this is the plan of action. You enter from here, you enter from here. This is what we do. And this is how, hence proved. This is how we accomplish our mission. So the seven Vasus assist and the eighth one is the one who plans it. When they're stealing the Kamadhenu cow, Vasishtha Muni opens his eyes out of meditation. Till now he was meditating, so he was safe. But now he opened his eyes. You know, many times sages do this. They close their eyes in meditation and they observe the inner intention of what's happening around people. Then they open their eyes. Durvasa Muni also did this many times. It is described in one of the biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when Mahaprabhu was dancing on the banks of the Ganga, one crocodile came out, touched his lotus feet and got his divine body back. So Mahaprabhu asked the crocodile, how did you become a crocodile and what are you doing in the Ganga? He said, oh, actually in my past life I was a very naughty boy. Durvasa Muni was meditating and he had a very big beard. So I was very tempted. I took a scissor. I knew that Durvasa Muni has his eyes closed and he has his beard long. So I thought, before he opens his eye, let me go and cut. So I went with my scissor as a naughty boy and I went very close to his beard and he was still meditating. And then I cut his beard, and as soon as I did that, Durvasa opened his eyes. And he said, oh little child, you get pleasure in cutting into the body part of another person, you become a crocodile and chew into other person's flesh. But then he fell to the feet of Durvasa Muni and he said, oh sadhu, I just made a mistake, please forgive me, I'm just a child. Durvasa said, okay, no problem, you will be a crocodile in the Ganga. And in Kali Yuga, when Gauranga Mahaprabhu comes, you will come out and touch his lotus feet and participate in the dancing of the chanting of the holy names. So I was not sure whether it was a curse or a blessing. We wish we could become crocodiles touching Mahaprabhu's feet too. So this was the historical evidence how many times sages, they get completely absorbed and then they observe what's happening. So Vasishtha Muni came out of meditation and cursed all of them. Said, you can't earn your own cow, you're trying to steal mine. I curse all of you. With your stealing propensity, may you go down on Bhumandal, Mother Earth, and continue your nefarious activities. But then they all fell at their feet. They said, well, we just executed it. Please forgive me. It wasn't our idea. It was his idea. You know. So then there was Vasishtha Muni said, okay, it will be on the basis of your participation in the sin. Seven of you who just executed it, you will go on Mother Earth, but you will take birth and very quickly get delivered back. But the eighth one who actually orchestrated it, he will stay on Mother Earth the longest. That was Bhishma. So the seven who appeared here, Mother Ganga remembered this and drowned them immediately as soon as they were born. And the eighth who was caught by Maharaj Shantanu's compassion was actually the continued curse of Vasishtha. He must stay on earth. And he was also deprived of the feminine association, according to Vasishtha Muni.
So when Ganga Devi said, well, this is what I was doing, therefore I told you, don't question my actions. Maharaj Shantanu fell on his knees and said, I wish you had told me when we got married. You know, I would have had you and I wouldn't have questioned. But then she left him. She went back to the heavenly kingdom. Maharaj Shantanu said, anyway, you're going to the heavenly kingdom. Take this eighth son and train him up. Because there the teachers are very profound and very deep in spiritual learning. Please take him with you. She took the eighth son with her. And as she took the son to the heavenly kingdom, he was taught by Brihaspati. He was taught by Parashuram personally. And he became the recipient of everyone's blessings. And therefore, he was named Devavrata. One fine day, as Maharaj Shantanu was burning in separation from his son and his dear wife, he came to the banks of the Ganga. And as he was sitting on the banks of the Ganga, he saw that the stream of Ganga, who can't be stopped by anyone, was actually being deflected by a stream of arrows. There was someone shooting an arrow, and Ganga was changing her path by the power of that arrow. And he was creating an arrow bed, which would stop the flow of the Ganga, and in fact deflect the flow of Ganga in the exact opposite direction. So when Maharaj Shantanu saw where the arrows were coming from, they were coming from the quiver and the bow of a 32-year-old self-effulgent celestial being, Devavrata. That was his own son. Ganga Devi manifested and said, this is our son. He's been trained up. Now I give him back to you to help you. Devavrata continues assisting Maharaj Shantanu. And Maharaj Shantanu, now being bereft of his wife's association, goes out hunting and falls in love with Satyavati. Now it's described, Satyavati also has a history according to the Mahabharata. Previously she was called as Matsya Gandha and she was the daughter of a fisherman. She had the name Matsya Gandha. Gandha means smell and Matsya means fish. She had the dirty odor of, the stinking odor of a fish because that's what she would trade with. She would row the boat and take fishes around. And we take the qualities of those we associate with. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Sangatyago sato vritte. Sangatyaga. Shadbir bhakti prasidati. Like giving up association of the fish-like mentality of the envious people. Matsaryam means fish. The fishy mentality. The stinking mentality of the envious people. So, Matsyagandha, as she had this stink, it's described. One day as she was rowing the boat, she was approached by Parashara Muni. Parashara Muni told Matsya Gandha, can you take me across the water body? So Matsya Gandha agreed. As Parashara Muni was sitting on the boat and Matsya Gandha would take him across, Parashara Muni, inspired by the Supreme Lord, told Matsya Gandha that the Supreme Lord has decided to appear in this world. And he wants a very wonderful via medium to come in this world through. Would it be fine if you can facilitate being the mother? Matsya Gandha was little taken aback with this proposal. But we must understand and make sure that we don't misunderstand Parashara Muni's intentions. There's a very interesting parallel account which will, you know, this is called Chandra Shakha Nyaya in Sanskrit. When we have to explain the moon, we explain the two branches of the tree. And then when that is understood, we learn to see the moon through the branch. So I will run a parallel story, which are like the branches of the tree. And then we will see the moon of this story through those branches. In Maharashtra, in the western province of India, we had a great saint about 1,000 years ago by the name Jnaneshwara. And the history about his birth is also very similar. There was a sannyasi who was a renounced monk, completely celibate, a pure devotee of the Lord. But one fine day, Vitthala, the presiding deity of Pandharpur in Maharashtra, he appeared in the meditation of this great saint, this great sannyasi, and said, one of my dear devotees, Jnaneshwara, has to appear in this world and we need a via medium. You give up your sannyas, become a grihastha and become the father of this child. I repeat,
He was a sannyasi, and the Supreme Lord inspires him, tells him, you have to step down from sannyas, become a grihastha, and then facilitate the birth of this pure devotee. Now he had two options. One, to continue being a sannyasi and not facilitate the service of the Supreme Lord. Or facilitate the service of the Supreme Lord, if that means public defaming because of giving up of the saffron cloth.
Tyajantu bandhava sarve nindantu guravo jana tathapi paramanando govindo mama jivanam.
In the Mukundamala Stotra, Kulashekara describes, even if the whole world criticizes me, I will continue pursuing the service to Sri Krishna and his pure devotees. So in this mood, he gave up sannyas. And this whole society, you know, banished him. He was ousted, exiled, with criticism. They thought this was a fall down. He gave birth to this great saint, but no one recognized it. The village gave him death sentence along with his wife. And the sannyasi went through the code of conduct and left his body, if that is the atonement. The whole family was taken as an outcast. But after many years, at the age of 16, Jnaneshwar wrote the authorized Marathi translation to the Bhagavad Gita. Because at that time, there were unscrupulous commentators coming and mixing and twisting and turning the pristine nectar, the pristine message of the Gita. So he presented at the age of 16, and the village didn't accept it because they said, you are the son of a fallen sannyasi. He touched the head of a buffalo, and the buffalo chanted 700 verses of the Gita. The village fell at his feet and accepted his position. That's when they realized and accepted how his father had sacrificed and stepped down for the service of mankind. So we must understand, there are exceptional cases where the Lord will intervene and do something which is out of the box. Here in Parashara Muni, on that boat ride, is being inspired by the Supreme Lord to facilitate this appearance. He requests Matsyaganda to become the mother. She agrees. And immediately she becomes pregnant, and being completely transcendental as an incident, immediately she gives birth to this self-effulgent baby, Vyasadeva. So the point that this is all driven by transcendence is everything happened on the spot. And also, she was a little worried of, you know, losing her status as being a kanya. So Parashara Muni blessed her, said that I benedict you with two things. One, you will regain your status as a kanya. And second, you will be free from the smell of fish, and you will be very effulgent and beautiful. You will walk, because you walked on the path of truth, your name will be Satyavati. So now as this baby was born, he was born on an island. So it's described he being transcendentally bluish black, and being the incarnation of Krishna, he was called Krishna, the all-attractive one. Second, because he appeared on an island, and an island in Sanskrit is called Dvipa. What is it called?
Dvipa.
Therefore, his name was Dvaipayana. And he was called Krishna Dvaipayana. And at childbirth, immediately he grew, and then he left his parents. And he said, I have to go to the forest to meditate. He didn't associate with his parents absolutely. He said, oh mother, when you need me, you remember me, I will come and serve you. But for now, I have to go to meditate. And this is what will happen in the future. History will repeat itself. When Vyasadev gives birth to his son, Shukadev, he leaves his mother's womb and goes into the forest. And at that time, Vyasadev runs. Yam prabhrajantam anupetam apeta krityam dvaipayano virahakata rajuhava putreti tanmaya tayataravo bhinedu tam sarva bhutaridayam munimanatosmi. The Bhagavatam describes Vyasadev ran behind his son, putra, putra, oh son. And the son wouldn't look back. The trees were reverberating and giving out an echo. Oh son. Putra. But Vyasa was calling out with so much love, but Shukadev didn't look back. At that time, Vyasadeva felt, ah, this is what my parents felt when I left. The word Vyasa was given later. It's a very beautiful word in Sanskrit. Please repeat. Vyasyate.
Vyasyate.
Iti Vyasa.
Iti Vyasa.
Vyasa in Sanskrit means he who compiles, he who elaborates, he who extends something. So because Vyasadeva was the one who compiled and extensively, elaborately, in great detail, explained the purport of transcendental knowledge, he was called Vyas. So there are different personalities who take the position of Vyas in different kalpas. And this one is Krishna Dvaipayana. That was his name. But the post was Vyasa, the one who was compiling. Also, according to Vedic mathematics, the word Vyasa refers to the diameter in a circle. Please tell me, what are the characteristics of a diameter?
2 times radius.
Okay. It passes through the?
Center.
And divides the circle in?
Two halves.
Two exact halves. So this was the quality of Vyasadeva. He passes through the center of all activities, that is Krishna. He does his work keeping the center in mind, that is Krishna. And he divides the whole work into equal halves. He explains the temporary nature of the material world. At the same time, the second half explains the beauty of the spiritual world. He goes through the center and divides the whole creation in two halves. So this is Vyasyate iti Vyasa. So Vyasadeva appeared and he left. But he told Mother Satyavati, whenever you need me, I will come back. Now this Satyavati, who had this past history that we mentioned, Maharaj Shantanu fell in love with her. He came and told her father, I am very interested in marrying your daughter. And he was a fisherman. He looked at King Shantanu. He said, this is impossible. You're a king and I'm a fisherman and I can't give my daughter to you. I have some standard. I can't give it to you. He said, why? What's the problem? I'm the king. I can accept. Now the fisherman father had so much thought process. He said, wait a minute. You're a king, which means you can have multiple queens. What if after this you accept many other queens who are coming from a Kshatriya clan? So they will become your main queen. And my daughter, who's this daughter of a fisherman, will become Dasi. Will become your maidservant. After all, you will judge her on the basis of her birth. I don't want this. I will give my daughter only in a place where she's respected. So no. The king fell in on her on his knees and said, please, please, please. He said, no, no, there are many reasons, not just that. The main reason is, you know, you already have a son, Devavrata. So even if you marry my daughter, Devavrata is going to be the king. So what is my daughter gaining? You promise me that the son who's going to be born through my daughter and your mercy, that son is going to be the king. Shantanu said, impossible. I have a history of Devavrata. No. This is not possible. Come what may, Devavrata is only going to be the king. Fisherman said, okay, then you go your way. I'm not giving my daughter in marriage. Maharaj Shantanu, very disappointed, came back. And in the meeting of his ministers, he explained his heart. And Devavrata tapped through this conversation. He heard it and secretly went to this fisherman and said, I heard my father came here for a proposal and you said no. He said, yes. It's a matter of self-dignity. I said a no. One, because my daughter will be treated as a dasi, as a maidservant. And this is not proper for me. I'm not going to accept this. Devavrata said, what if I promise my father is going to treat your daughter as a proper queen? He said, no, you know, you're a child. Don't get into this. He said, no, I'm 32 years old. I'm of marriageable age myself. He said, no, I've already said a no to your father. So let's not get into this. He said, no, but I've come on behalf of my father's desire. One, you want your daughter to be treated as the queen? So be it. I agree. Second, you want the son coming from your daughter, your grandson, to be the king? I agree to that too. The fisherman said, impossible. You have already been coronated as Yuvaraja, which means you've been announced as the future king. Now your father can change this. He said, what if I step down? What if I step down? History has been a proof. Ramachandra sat down
and step down for Bharat, although being almost being coronated. So I will step down. And the eyes of the fisherman went wide. He said, no, but still I don't agree. Because then what's going to happen is you will step down. But at that same time, as your father is getting married to my daughter, you will also get married. And what if you have a son before they have a son? He will grow before their son grows. And he's going to be the king before their son becomes the king. There's a lot of planning for a fisherman. You know. Come what may, it's the father's love for the daughter. So it's going to be profound and deep. Devavrata said, you are calculating a lot and I have to agree. I am on my knees agreeing to each of your proposals. And here are my points of rebuttal. One, I promise your daughter will be treated as the queen and not as a dasi. Two, I promise I will not get married. Is that okay? I am not going to get married. I, as a kshatriya, as the son of Ganga Devi, I touch the sacred celestial water to say, I will never get married. Only if I get married is a question of having a son who is going to compete with their son. The fisherman said, yeah, but I still have a condition. The condition is, what if you show all of this animosity towards their son? Because it's because of them that you had to lose your position and not get married and not have a son. Bhishma finally, Devavrata finally said, my final point on the list is, I promise you, whoever steps on the throne as the king, all my life I will continue my loyalty and I will serve him. Is that okay? The fisherman smiled. You know, Ayanda Prabhu used to eat a specific cuff suprasent. In America it's called as the fisherman's friend. You also have it in Australia, fisherman's friend?
Yeah.
So when I see fisherman's friend, I remember, oh, this is Bhishma Dev. He literally befriended the fisherman. You know? Shri Bhishma Dev ki?
Yeah.
So when Bhishma Dev gave this word, Devavrata was renamed as Bhishma, because this type of vrat was unheard for a kshatriya, even for a brahmana. Very tough. This is for a kshatriya. Unimaginable. The demigods start offering flowers and showering flowers and they said, Bhishana, Bhishana, Bhishana. This is terrific. This is unheard of. This is unimaginable. And that's how he was renamed as Bhishma from the name Devavrata. Now as we know, with the mercy of Maharaj Shantanu and Satyavati Devi, they gave birth to Chitrangada and Vichitravirya, two sons. They were trained up by Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev personally taught them everything. And now when they were of the marriageable age, Bhishma Dev went, fought, and got three girls for them by the name Amba, Ambika, and Ambalika. And as Bhishma Dev was getting them on the chariot, Amba said, I am not okay for this because, you know, I already have lost my heart to a person called Shalya. You know, I've already lost my heart to him. I'm in love with him. I want to marry him. And you kidnapping me for you. Bhishma Dev even didn't say that this was for Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. They thought it was for him, so they were still okay. Now the secret is yet to unfold when Amba really gets wild. She said, no, you can't take me like this. I've already lost my heart for Shalya. So Bhishma said, okay, go. If that's where your heart is, you go. I still have two girls for in the heart. I still have two girls. He didn't say it first for Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. So he let Amba go. Amba came back to Shalya and said, look, I've come for you. He said, no, you go back to him. I saw him holding you by the hand and bringing you onto the chariot. So now that that man has touched you, you go become his wife. Finished. I'm not accepting you. So now she was like a ping pong ball going back and forth. She went there and then she came back to Bhishma and said, oh, actually, he didn't accept me. So since you have anyway kidnapped you, you accept me. He said, no, I have taken a vrat of lifelong celibacy. She gets furious. Which brahmachari does this? You know, you're kidnapping three women and saying this is not for you. Then why the hell did you come? Whom are you taking us for? Said, no, I'm taking for, you know, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. They're like my brothers, but, you know, they may not make the right pick. So out of love, I came on their behalf. Amba gets wild. She performs tapasya to please Lord Shiva to kill Bhishmadev. She said, enough, this guy has destroyed my life. I was supposed to get married to a man. He kidnaps me from there and now lets me go. Then that man doesn't accept me. Then I come back to him. He says, it's not for me, it's for my brothers whom I haven't even seen. And it's unheard of in the Kshatriya text. Oh Lord Shiva, please bless me with this benediction that I can kill Bhishmadev. Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. She appears to Amba and said, yeah, you continue your tapasya. In your next birth, you will be a male and you will kill him. And at the same time, King Drupada there, the father of Drishtadyumna and Draupadi, he is performing tapasya. And then to please Lord Shiva, please give me a son. Lord Shiva comes, yes, you will have a son eventually. You will have a son eventually. They give birth to the child, the reincarnation of Amba. And that's a baby girl. The wife of Drupada looks at Drupada. Drupada looks at his wife. What's happening? He says, this is a baby girl. Lord Shiva said, this is going to be a son. Wife said, look, Lord Shiva's words can go wrong. If he says this is a son, which means this is a son. We must give him a male name. We must dress him up as a son. We must announce that this is a son. And like we would teach a son, all the warfare and the fighting with the sword and the bow and arrow, we just teach him. Drupada said that this is a she. And the Mataji said, means the wife said, doesn't matter, we will treat him as Prabhuji. They named him Shikhandi and announced the whole kingdom, yes, we have a baby boy. Baby boy, yes. Now, very good. Baby boy is growing up. And one day she has to get married, the baby girl. Drupada comes to his wife and says, now what are we going to do? This is a girl. So which means she must get married to a he. But we have announced that this is a he. Which means the society thinks he must get married to a she. The wife said, look, this is a boy for me. And he is going to get married to a Mataji. So it was basically Shikhandi, who was a Mataji, getting married to a Mataji. And Drupada didn't know what to do. He just tricked the opposing party and said, yeah, this is a boy. You know, and got him married to that king's daughter. Now when that king's daughter got to know that this was actually not a male but a female, she ran back to the father and said, you've been cheated. I have been cheated. This is a girl who has got married to me. This is not a boy. And the father came back to Drupada. He was marching with his army. How dare you cheat? Drupada's messengers came to Drupada and said, you hide. Because now you're in trouble. The whole city is marching. Drupada looked at his wife and said, it's all because of you. You are the one who instigated the whole controversy. The wife said, look, I was the one suggesting, you were the one who executed. It's your fault. And as the husband and wife are arguing, Shikhandi there feels dejected. She thinks it's all her fault. She runs into the forest to hide herself and to just be in seclusion. There she meets a Vasu by the name Sthun. And Sthun looks at her. She looks at him. She's crying, being a he. Sthun looks at Shikhandi and says, why are you crying? She speaks her heart out. Says, please help me. I'm in a predicament. You know, there's a gender bias here. I don't know what to do. Sthun, out of compassion, says, I'm in a male body. I promise you, you take my male form and become a male. I will take your female form. Temporarily. Go. Prove your point to King Drupada that look, there's everything okay. And tell the opposing person, your daughter is lying. Look, I'm a male. Your daughter is lying. She got married to a Prabhuji, not a Mataji. So Shikhandi comes and proves to his father-in-law that that person's daughter was lying. And can you imagine, the king got wild at his own daughter. He said, what is this nonsense? You can settle this amongst yourself. He came to Drupada and he said, I'm really sorry that, you know, we are after all friends, you know that. You know, unnecessary, these kids, you know, they just sometimes mess it up. So, after that, Shikhandi came back into the forest to exchange the male form. But by then something tragic happened. Sthul was the personal servant of Kuber. And Kuber was flying in the air. And as he was almost about to land, he asked for Sthul. Called for Sthul, and Sthul was not there. He said, Sthul, where are you? You're supposed to invite and welcome me here. You're my personal servant, but you're not here. Sthul didn't come out because now he was a she. Sthul came and told Kubera, how would I come out? I'm in a Mataji's form. I can't embarrass myself. When he came out, Kubera was shocked. What have you done? You're a Prabhuji. You're supposed to welcome me. What is this? Why did you become a Mataji? And Sthul explained, oh, I actually gave my male form to Shikhandi and accepted female form. Kubera got wild. He said, this is a disgrace on our clan. You gave up your male form and became a Mataji. I curse you. You remain a Mataji all your life. And let Shikhandi be a male. Just be like this. So when Shikhandi came back to the forest to exchange, Sthul said, too late. By the time you were happy with this form, I was miserable. Kubera came and cursed me. So this is how it's going to be. You remain like this as a male. Once you die, I will take your form back. So it was actually a female who became a male. And this Shikhandi later, we find in the pages of the Mahabharata, becomes instrumental in killing Bhishma Dev, fulfilling the benediction of Lord Shiva. He's made to stand ahead, and Arjuna from behind the back shoots arrows and kills Bhishma Dev. But what happens to Ambika and Ambalika? The two other girls, they get married to Chitrangada and Vichitravirya. But very soon after that, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya leave their bodies. So Ambika and Ambalika become widows. And now the tradition, the family lineage doesn't continue. Satyavati comes to Bhishma Dev and says, what to do now? Who's going to continue? You're a brahmachari. You're not going to have any, you know, future successor. Both sons, Chitrangada and Vichitravirya, have died. Their wives are widows. Now what to do? Now that's where Vyasadeva comes back. Very, very beautiful inclusion. Vyasadeva comes back and helps Ambika and Ambalika by giving birth to Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura. So we see how Vyasadeva was not just instrumental in writing the Shastra. He was not just instrumental in the combination of Parashara Muni and Satyavati on the boat. But at the same time, it was Vyasadeva who continued the story of the Mahabharata. It was Vyasadeva who later impregnated and gave birth to Dhritarashtra, Pandu and Vidura. So the Kauravas and Pandavas are there on the battlefield of Kurukshetra hearing the Bhagavad Gita because of Vyasadeva. The Bhagavatam is there because of Vyasadeva. The spiritual master is a representative of Vyasadeva. The speaker of the Bhagavatam, the seat, is the sitting place of Vyasadeva. And in this way, Vyasadeva's appearance day to day marks such significant, paramount importance for all of us. Let us pray to Vyasadeva that let us get taste in reading the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, which are Vyasadeva's gifts, and let us expand on those teachings in our mind and put it to practice. Last but not the least, today is also the disappearance day of Sripad Sanatan Goswami. And just like Vyasadeva was to Krishna, Sanatan Goswami was to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopa Vrindesh Prabhu gave a very beautiful class yesterday, and I was hearing the recording where he mentioned that of all the Gaudiya texts that we have, the most prominent is Sanatan Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So let us also pray to Sanatan Goswami today that let us be of significant importance in the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So two prayers today to Vyasadeva, that let Vyasadeva benedict us with the taste in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, and let Sanatan Goswami benedict us in being empowered to push on the Sankirtan movement
of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This was a long narration with a lot of names and places, but what to do? This is also important. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Chatur Mas ki, Srimad Sanatan Goswami ki, Srila Vyasa Dev ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premananda.